What's up, everyone? Thank you for joining us for another podcast, another Gamecast. We are episode 5, I believe.
I think so. Or wait, is this
Are
five?
we?
Is it six? I don't
Yeah,
know.
this is way too early to be forgetting this. I want to say this is episode 6. But
We'll
yeah.
go with that.
Well, I'll edit that later. Thanks for joining us. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Teresa,
Hello,
and
everyone.
we're gonna hang out again like normal, and talk about some things. There's some interesting things that we were discussing this week, and so we wanted to share. But before we get into that, we want to share our week, what we've been doing and whatnot, just like normal. And for me personally, I'm not sick this week, thank God. Unfortunately, my wife is a little under the weather. I think allergies is really apparently this year is supposed to be really bad for allergies, especially in where we are. And so her and some of the kids are experiencing it, stuffy nose and drainage and all this other stuff. And so it's making it hard for them to sleep, especially my son, who will be turning 9 months in a few days or a day or two.
Oh, baby.
He's having a hard time sleeping, and so that's been a little rough. But aside from that, I had a pretty good week. I was able to get a decent amount of work done. My review for Tools Up finally went up on the website, and it's interesting because it's not my typical review. I mentioned the review was kind of late because we had some family things that came up towards the end of the year, and that kind of threw me for a loop in terms of getting work done. And so my review kind of touches on that in a sense, because when I got back to the game with all the updates and stuff, it had changed slightly. And so I was a little unfamiliar, but I had to get the review done. And so it's a little different, but I believe my I'm able to stamp my thoughts on it in a authoritative or critique based on what I've played, and that it's good criticism. I think that you would take it with a grain of salt just because of that. And so definitely check that out if you're interested in that game. It reminds me of Overcooked, which is an awesome game. Overcooked and Overcooked 2 are awesome. Definitely check those out if you like multiplayer cooking games. They're really, really fun. I also got into some music. The Gamecast, the E stands for et cetera. We went ahead and changed that. And so et cetera
Was
means.
like entertainment,
I
et
think et cetera is
cetera.
dope
Et
because
cetera
it's
was
like
dope.
is it's it covers so much, because now we don't have to say like you know what, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Even though we typically talk about anime and video games the most, movies and whatnot come a little bit after that, manga, and then et cetera. And so I did listen to some music. I finally caught up on Russ's album, and he released Shake the Snow Globe back in January, at the end of January actually, and it's really a good album. And not to say that Russ was bad, it's just he wasn't someone I was necessarily checking for the most part. And so there would be songs of his that I would like here and there, but I listened to some of the singles that he released on YouTube and other places, and so I was like, I'll check out the album. I had my subscription to the Google Play streaming was still up, so I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. And it's really good, surprisingly so. And again, that's not a knock on him, it's just that as in rapping, he wasn't someone I would necessarily run to. But his album right now is one of my favorite of the year, and I think I'm probably going to purchase it again. It's we're in February, we're about to be March, so that's not saying a whole lot, but very good. Because there was a lot of albums dropped, recently. Also, Royce da 5'9" dropped his album, The Allegory, which is bananas. I think that it I don't think it's as good as his last album, The Book of Eli, just yet. That's one of my favorite albums from him. I think it's a classic, and I think that is because he's very focused in The Book of Eli. Is he's also very not Eli, sorry, The Book of Ryan. I'm thinking of a film, The Book of Ryan.
I'm about to say, I didn't know there was a, but yeah, continue.
He's very open. He shares a lot of things about his childhood, which is interesting. But then also, when he's focused, I think he does the best in terms of writing. And because he did, he had an album that came out right before that with DJ Premier, Prime 2. And though it was a good album, I felt that he was kind of scatterbrained and it felt that way. And so the Book of Ryan was a extremely good body of work. And so coming to the Allegory, I was kind of expecting the same thing. And it's close. He talks about some political things. He talks about rappers. Like he, you know, there's a he has a video that actually shows someone pretending to be 6ix9ine, and he talks about how people are or kids are faking or pretending to be something that they're not in order to sell records, and the what comes of that. He also has a song called "Tricked," where he's talking about how black men are tricked into thinking that women are, you know, B's and H's, and how we should treat one another, and how you know, in terms of the record companies and what they think of us, just being dollar signs basically. And so he has a lot of political things and you know, almost Black Pantherish or what's the group, Public Enemy type stuff on there. That's really good, and he's rapping amazingly. I haven't It's something that you have to sit with though. The speed of his rapping and the themes and the things that he pulls from, it's, you know, it's going to take a while to kind of digest. And then some of the beats, I'm like, eh, but it's still one of the best albums released in some time. So definitely check that out. It's called The Allegory. And I think, did I do anything else this week? Well, anything. I've done a lot, but if anything worth mentioning, and I think that's it. I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it sounds like fun. It sounds like you had a decent week.
Yes.
That's good. I did one of those weeks. Remember the last time? I think maybe it was like episode 3, maybe it was 4, since we don't know where we are. Today's episode 17, as far as I'm concerned. Remember when I said I don't remember because I slept? I did another one of those. I know everybody thinks I'm a bum because
Oh,
clearly, like, the
goodness.
weeks just jump for me. I go from Thursday to Thursday. Well, for you guys, it's Friday to Friday, not doing anything. But that's accurate. I just needed to put that out there. It's kind of accurate. But I traveled, you know? And so when I came back from, I flew in from San Francisco last Wednesday. And, I landed on Thursday and I was just tired. And I didn't realize how tired I was. And so I went from Thursday to Sunday, basically. I feel like I woke up on Sunday and I'm like, what day is it? I just was so exhausted. And I'm like, I didn't realize jet lag was that bad. It felt like I came back from Ghana. That was crazy.
Oh,
That's
wow.
really jet lag going across the ocean like that. And but I mean I was in first class, so it was amazing. Anyway, I digress.
Okay.
I digress. Just saying, South African Airways, first class, you guys know what you're doing. Keep it up. Just bring the prices down. Just I mean,
Okay.
I got bumped up because I was nice to the people at check-in. Anyway, back to my week. So I did watch a couple of episodes of Classroom of the Elite. I mean, silly anime, you know. I'm pretty sure that someone named my nephew is watching anime on my Hulu account and not his own. So that's where the anime stopped popping up, and I'm like, who's watching Classroom of the Elite? Let me start watching it. I'm only 4 episodes in. It's kind of silly. And I don't really have a very good, you know, like, oh, watch this. Oh my God. You know how sometimes you can watch the first episode of an anime and you're screaming at the screen and you're like, everybody watch this. That's how I felt about Attack on Titan. Definitely how I felt after watching the first episode of Gunslinger Girl. Definitely
Oh,
how I
wow.
felt after watching the first episode of Death Note. But this one is just like, okay, you know, I'm interested. Let me see what happens. But no like strong feelings towards it. It's a bunch of elite kids going to an elite high school that's built on an island in Tokyo. And yeah, have you watched that one?
Not yet, not yet.
I mean, I think I'm what, four episodes in. It's entertaining. It is, but honestly, if I was gonna watch an anime about elite kids in a high school, I'm gonna watch Ouran Host Club because that is the best show. I love that show, and I would just rather watch that. So I did that. I thought that was fun, kind of. And then I've just been really silly and playing cell phone games because I can. And I've been playing Fun Run because it's so fun. And
Okay.
yeah, it's a stupid little game where you can be a little woodland animal and then you run on these like courses and you're supposed to try to win, but the best way to win is by killing the other people who run in the race with you.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
You can like shoot them with a death ray or like a really big razor blade. Looks like a gear, but it's like a razor. Stuff like that. You can use a magnet on them to pull them back in the race. You can do an oil spill so they can't see while they're running anymore. Just silly stuff. Friendly,
So it's like
murderous things.
Death Race meets Mario Kart.
Basically, yeah. In 2D.
Interesting.
That's important to me. Yeah. So just playing some cell phone games and just wasting time, cooking craze, stupid games, story games. But yeah, so that was my week. Not very interesting. And laundry, of course.
Oh God, dreaded laundry.
Yeah, definitely
I can
laundry.
never fold anymore. I like, at least not when I'm done with the laundry. It's usually
Right.
days later. I blame my kids. I do.
I, you know what? I'm gonna blame your kids too. I don't have any, but I have the same problem. I
Don't know. It's a weird thing because I know maybe it's because there's so many clothes. Because like when I was, years ago when I was living at home, we would wash our own clothes and then we would fold them. But it would just like I would have like one basket. My brother would have his own, and it would be at different times. But it's like having a family is like we're washing every so often, and I was like, I don't want to fold. I just ah,
I don't
I.
want to fold either.
So like I'll put on scrubs and fold and laugh at JD.
You got to put on scrubs, though.
Scrubs is awesome, like. It's one of my favorite shows. Yep.
Scrubs
Watch them scrubs, do the hivvy. Yeah, like it's great.
You're right.
So
Look.
this week, we want to talk about a couple things, similar in nature. The first being the N-word. Because there's a lot of it going around. And I know like some of the gamers out there might not understand, why this might be a thing or worth talking about. But the N-word is being used like ridiculously all over the place. And on one side, it's like this is like a common thing with black people, obviously. And some Hispanic, that are using the N-word. And then on the other side, there's like people who want to use the N-word and who shouldn't use the N-word, and they do so anyways, and that causes conflict. If you don't know, like if you play Fortnite or you've heard of Fortnite, you've heard of Ninja. He's the biggest Fortnite player. Makes like, well, at least years ago, he was making like $500,000 a month playing Fortnite, and he's pretty big. And he says some things that are controversy or controversial. Not too long ago, he mentioned how, if you're, and I'm paraphrasing, but if you don't get upset at your losses, what is there to motivate you? And a lot of people found that to be kind of toxic because typically in video games, especially competitive ones, when people get upset, they tend to do things and lash out and blah, blah, blah. And one of the things about I get what he's saying because for him it's not just a game he's getting paid to play. He make you know that's how he makes his living. But I do I've remember him being upset and then saying the N-word. Now Ninja is white and should never say the N-word. And he would say it and then he would apologize. He would do like a video and apologize. And then later on he would be caught saying it again. And it's like, huh. And so And so, you know, he hasn't done it in a while, at least to my knowledge.
Getting a while.
you know, like at least that hasn't been the thing. Like his recent controversial tweets or whatever have been based on sports and him not him just saying a lot of stuff that he shouldn't say out of his mouth or, you know, well, on Twitter. And it just blows up in his face. It also is, you know, provides publicity and whatnot for him. So I guess there's that. But
Yeah.
he's the why the reason I bring him up is because there's other streamers too who would use the N-word and you know you would hear them kind of like after a while some of them get bold and will be like, you know, why can't I say it? And you know, we wanted to talk about it. But not just for streaming and gaming, but just in general, the idea of you know, who can use the N-word and why people are allowed to use the N-word and why certain people aren't allowed to use the N-word, or at the very least will get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, definitely punched in the mouth. And
And so,
I'm still sitting here with a dropped jaw because I actually didn't know that Ninja did this. When did this happen?
I can Google that. Please talk.
And the reason why I'm asking, because Ninja was on last season of The Masked Singer. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Like, how do you get away with doing this like in public and then you get on The Masked Singer? What, because you had a little I guess I'm a little confused because you're not, we're not supposed to know that word's in your vocabulary. Like, who are you right now?
Yeah, so what the I think one of the last time he said it was actually this time last year. No, not last year, 2018. He said it and I don't think this time he was actually upset. I think he was rapping to a song or something and said it. And so he issued an apology and then there's a clip of him saying it like he's getting upset as he's losing a match and he says it again. And it's like, yo. And you know it's this thing where like streamers or people like YouTube celebrities or whatever where they would use the N-word or say the N-word and they get all apologetic after the fact and I'm like did you not know this was a thing like and the fact that you're not new to this either you've been streaming to thousands of people for however long like did you not know that this would not go over well and so he you know he issued apology and he did so on video form and then he also posted on Twitter about is that he you know he said he promised that he understands how much pain that that word causes and even if it gets used in music and elsewhere which to me was like you know it's kind of like you know but like a but like it's used in you know you hear it in that popular music you know and blah 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 and Drake and blah, blah, you know but it's like no don't do that and so like you know and usually because he's a big name it kind of blows over but for me it's like that's the one of the things that I don't like about him that kind of keeps me from being a fan because when I first heard about Ninja I was applauding him not only are you making a killing I mean he was the first gamer on ESPN Mag and all this other stuff and his when he was interviewed he would say things that I thought were good in the sense that you know, him being a role model, like, you know, stay in school, make sure you have a backup plan. You know, he's married and he's faithful to his wife and, you know, all this other stuff. Like, he said some good things. And then he would say some bad things, like how he doesn't want to play with women and how he kind of disguised that. He kind of disguised it on, you know, in the sense of like he wouldn't want his wife to feel uncomfortable. And that could be a thing. But to me, it sounds like these women can't play as well as I can. So I don't want them on my team.
It sounds
That's what
like
it.
tense.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. And but then it was, you know, what really killed it for me was like he started using the N-word more than once, and then I was like, all right, Ninja is kind of at a fault, you know, I put him over there.
Is it
Because
because he's from Detroit? Like, I have so many
I don't
questions.
I it's but you know, it's not he's not even and you know, not to pick on him per se, he's not the only one.
He's
There's
not
a
the only one.
bunch. There's a bunch. And so, you know, I thought it would be you know, a good idea to kind of talk about why this is a thing and it, you know, how we feel about it. So coming from a, I guess, a black perspective, my perspective, I don't speak for all black people, but my perspective is that I don't like the N-word at all. And the reason why I don't is because to me, I feel like even though we've kind of black people has made it popular or made it cool, amongst ourselves, the N word with the hard ER, usually was said right before something traumatic happened, right before someone was killed, right before. And I feel like it got to the point where, racist white people are like, we don't have to call them that because they call them that themselves. I read an article, someone was saying it was like kind of like getting out of jail and still wearing your jail clothing or whatever it is, like you're still in that. At the same time, it doesn't bother me. If my friends use the N-word, I hear it in hip hop. I'm a big fan of hip hop. It's all over that. And it doesn't bother me because, I mean, if that's all you use when you talk to people, I think, we can help you with your vocabulary. But outside of that, it doesn't bother me because I mean, for real, like some people sound, anyways. So it doesn't bother me because I understand. And being black, it's you're kind of, I guess, for lack of a better term, you're like in, like you're in the crowd, you're the in crowd in that sense. And so it never bothers me when people say it, like it doesn't hurt my ears or anything. But me personally, I'm like, I don't want to use that word. I don't want to give it any more power. And, for the people who say that it doesn't have power, you're kind of kidding yourself. There was a we were talking off air about there was a guy who did a who was doing a seminar, I believe, talk, and a white person asked him why can't, white people use the N-word. And he was saying that it's kind of like, the word bitch. Like, women can call themselves that, and it's okay, like if they're friends. And he was like, but me being a male or a man, I can't do that. And he was like, that's kind of what it is. It's like that's it's a group thing. It's a thing that they're allowed to do. We don't have to be a part of everything. And on the surface, I get it. A little deeper though, I was like, it doesn't really work that way because there's still context. Because if a rival or someone you dislike calls you a B, it doesn't matter if she's a woman or a man, you're still gonna feel a way. Especially if she doesn't know you that well, or whatever the case may be. And so it there's context where the N-word doesn't really have context outside of the hard ER. It's something that you can or can't say. And so I can not feel a way. I can feel nothing when a black person says it, but I feel all sorts of stuff when a white person says it. Because that word still has power that's negative. Anybody who sits and says like, oh, you can say it, but you can't, that sort of thing, it has that power. You're admitting that. The context is gone because if there was context, it wouldn't matter who said it unless as long as they said it under a positive context, right? So if Ninja's like, yo, my nigga, and he's talking to his friend, contextually, it would be okay, but because Ninja is white, it's not okay. It's just not gonna be okay at all. And so just a little background on how I feel before we kind of get into the larger discussion. I'm not a fan of it, but it doesn't bother me. One thing I will say though, there are times when it bothers me from the people who are allowed to say it. And for instance, the rapper Logic. Now personally, I don't know him, and I know that he has gone through things because he's mixed. And where, one side is like, black, one side is white, and there's conflict there on what he can and can't do, et cetera, et cetera. But he's allowed to say it in this because he's mixed. The problem I have is that he can pass for white, and a lot of times he passes for white. What I mean by that is on his last album, I want to say his last album, he was using the N-word a lot more than he had before. And to me, it felt like this was a button I want to press, because when you don't have to, let's just say when you don't have to deal with the things that we have to deal with, even though that you have that in to be able to say certain things, you don't get to play that up when your record comes out. You don't get to play that up because it's hip hop. You don't get to play that up, but then every other time, I don't use the N-word. I've seen him say the N-word, not the word itself. So, and passing as white or accepting the fact there, that's what I mean. Accepting the fact that you can pass as white, and then and when you get around certain people, you kind of flip, and so that type of thing. And again, I don't know him personally. That could just be something he was doing. At least contextually, I couldn't see it. If he was trying to, if he had a message or whatever, when
Right.
I was listening to his music, I couldn't see it. So it rubbed me the wrong way.
I can
And
understand that.
so that's those are one of the instances where someone who's allowed to say it, I won't necessarily, want to fight him, but I still give him the side eye, like, all right, you said it a little too much, fam. Like, calm down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? How about you?
I actually, to piggyback on what you just said, I feel that same way. Because when you do have somebody who is white passing, just like you said, and when you do have somebody who could live their entire life and not have any struggle that it has been stereotypically or generally related to being black, then there is a sting. And it's even hard as a black person to vocalize it because you're like, I don't want to use, I don't want to weaponize against this other person who is actually black, but at the same time, there are people, who are black who can stand up in front of a room of people and they're like, look, I look white. I've got green eyes. I've got freckles on my face and straight hair, and you wouldn't know I'm black unless I told you. So I don't go through the struggles as the same as the girl standing next to me. And so therefore, it might be even on my res like respectful on my own part to maybe not do something and try to get away with something because I can quote say it out of my mouth that I'm black, but you guys don't treat me that way. And
Right.
so there's a sting to it. There is a sting to it. And I'm just saying, like, as a black person, as a dark skinned person, it's like sometimes you don't want to vocalize that and say that to another person who's white passing because it's like, you know what? I'm not gonna, I know who you are inside. So, but at the same time, there's the sting, which is the whole point, the uncomfortable, the discomfort. And then on top of that, if I am a black person and I can't see, like I said, you're white passing or whatnot, or let's say you're not even black, let's say that you are Latino or whatever, you're something else, but you have a tendency to use this word. I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. I don't know your in-group. And so when I hear you using it, then I'm confused because because I'm not part of your in-group. And
Right.
that's why sometimes it's very difficult. Especially when you have people who are from certain areas. I just made a joke. I'm like, he's from Detroit. Is that why he's using it? Hey, because people are from all kinds of places all over the country where this is part of their vernacular and they're not black, but it's their vernacular because where they are in their lo locale, this is the language. But when they step out of that locale to a wider audience, whether it be visiting somebody or they're on the big screen at this point, or they're on radio and people can hear them talk every day, and it's like, oh, you use that word really freely. Why? Oh, because I don't know you. So unless you're explaining yourself to me, I'm just wondering why you are talking. Why are you saying this? Because I don't
Right.
know. And that's the difficult part of when you have words that can be offensive. So, I know for myself, for example, growing up, obviously growing up, I had strict parents, strict African immigrant parents. And so we couldn't say a lot of things. You had kids in our neighborhood who were cursing up a storm even in front of their parents and weren't getting in trouble. If we said anything out of our mouth, if I said ain't, I'm getting a slap across the face, okay? If I'm using a contraction that Webster may or may not have ratified until the year 2015, I was getting a slap. Okay, we were getting in trouble for that. My mom was very, 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 very serious about us making sure that we knew how to speak English properly. She worked hard. She worked several jobs. She's like, you go to a decent public school. Okay, I did go to private school when I was in preschool. I just need to drop that there, everybody. I went to private school for 2 years, Christian school. Anyway, but she's like, you go to decent public schools. I work hard so that you can have lunch at school and whatnot. Please speak proper English, okay? And so when it came to the kids who are running around saying, honestly, nigga this, nigga that, and these are kids, you know, my schoolmates. I can't join in because my mom said that I can't speak a certain way. And on top of that, it just never felt right to me because the kids who were using the language didn't speak like me. And that was the biggest difference from childhood. If I was like, I'm listening to the kids who are using the word, and I was like, the inflection is different. Oh, wait a minute. I don't actually say the word the like that. Wait, I don't actually say you like that. I don't, and I'm realizing there's a difference here. 'Cause this is just as a kid. I'm like, So I remember, and I'm just saying this because I remember this very clearly, but I remember being a teenager and or preteen, sorry, in middle school. And you know, I made friends and this, that, and the other, and I was like, all my friends use this, so I'm gonna try to say this. So I'm like, these niggas, and then I was like, you know what? No. Right then and there, I was like, I've heard myself. I heard myself and I said, I sound so dumb right now. I'm like, this does not sound right coming out of my own mouth. I sound like an idiot. I sound like a goddamn tool. That's how I sound. Okay. I was like, this is stupid. And so I cut it there. I was like, I can't. I was like, you will not see me. All my friends, okay, kids that I was hanging out with, and like, I don't know, eighth grade. Were you know saying this, and I just felt dumb. I was like, yes, so I'm gonna let all y'all say that, but me, I just because I was already getting teased for wearing high waters. I'm not gonna get nigga improperly. You get what I'm saying? I didn't want to do that.
That's
So
interesting.
move along into adulthood, right? And again, I didn't have a problem with people saying it. I just knew that it just didn't come out of me properly. It just didn't sound right. And then I remember my friend, one of my closest friends, she's my dear friend. We were in the car with her mother, and her mother said the word. And her mother, and this is you know, my dear friend is black. Her mother is black. You know, she's from South Carolina, and her mom was talking like somebody had pulled out in front of her, and her mom was like, this, you know. Normal conversation, right? And then she was mad that this person pulled in front of her, like because we were like driving and this person kind of like cut in front of her. And she's like, this nigga, like that. So then my friend heard her say it, and she's like, mother, what did you just say? And she was like, what? And she's like, what did you just say? And she was like, what are you talking about? She goes, mommy, I've never heard you use that word before. So then they got into an argument in front of me over usage of the word. I don't like you using this word, mother. Not the other way around, right? Her mother was like, I'm a grown woman and I can say what I want. You know, she said something to her, I don't remember. It was a very long time ago. I was 15. Moving along from there, moving on into adulthood now. Up at right where I am right now. Again, now I feel as though I do use the word often. And one of the reasons is because I'm not necessarily sure what changed. Maybe I have more friends who use the word, and so maybe it's just easier at this point. It's just easier for me. And because like I said, when I was young, it just felt so dumb coming out of my mouth. I just never said it. But when I got older, I would say in my 30s, it wasn't even like it was in my 20s. I would say it was more in my 30s. I guess just more of my friends, more of my friends, same color, you know? Yeah. Same black people were are you know, it's common. And so, and it doesn't feel weird anymore. Obviously, it's not something that you walk around to random groups of people and just start spitting out because it just doesn't make any sense. But I don't have a problem with it anymore, and I realize I'm saying it more and more. And one reason I think is because of like pop culture, because now it just seems like it's part of my vernacular, but not in a sense where it's just like, and you know, I'm not Riley from the Boondocks. It's more of a, like, so I was talking off air. I watch Insecure,
Awesome
and
show.
it's an awesome show created by Issa Rae. with amazing actors. And I'm telling you, I didn't know anything about Issa Rae Productions until I heard that the show was coming out. And people were like, you gotta watch this, you gotta watch this. She's the one who does Diary of Awkward Black Girl. I was like, wait a minute, I heard of that before. And I hadn't watched it. So I watched Insecure, first episode, she's rapping in the mirror. I turned it off. I said, why is this girl in my head? Why is this girl in my head? I do this. I wake up in the morning, something comes in my head. I'm sitting there, I am rapping in the mirror. And I was like, wait a minute, who is this woman? She is literally my spirit human. And yeah. So anyway, I think I identified with her character. And just there are certain situations that she gets in, and she has no problem being who she is, representing where she's from, representing California, representing where she says she's from, Crenshaw in the show, and just representing who she is and being unapologetic. And that's what I appreciate. And I think that's kind of where I became very at ease with using the word in my in groups, because there is this unapologeticness to, I don't know, maybe I don't know how to explain it very well, but when I watch that show and the fact that she's so free and her characters are so able to communicate, and they're all communicating with each other and in
Very well.
very well. Very well. And I'm hoping that they're communicating off screen, because they're communicating to me. I'm understanding every little bit, and it feels like I am watching a mirror. And I think that that is, first of all, that's something the Black community needs anyway.
Right.
Being able to look on screen and to see yourself and to see something that feels so you, or you can identify with, or whatnot. And I'm sitting there right there with it and completely entertained and enthralled at the same time, and just like, wow, you did this. You made yourself seen, and you made being unapologetically Black okay. I am okay with me, and I'm gonna be me, and I'm gonna do it in front of you. And by the way, I'm gonna go to an award show and say, I'm just rooting for everybody Black. Like, who does this? Who does this? And
Yeah,
I'm
she's
like,
great.
it was so great. It's so great. And I'm like, and I think, and I would just say, like, me and my girlfriends, it's because it's really me and my girlfriends. And, then it's kind of like, and we, typically when we're mad at somebody. No, I'm just kidding. Like, but I'm so sorry, I'm laughing. I feel like I'm not really explaining to people, but I really want people to understand where I'm coming from, because it was a progression for me. It was a progression. It was, child all through childhood being like, no, there's one point in time where I was completely against it, and then there was another point in time where I was just like, I'm not against it, but I just don't say those things. And then it got to the point where I was like, no, I'm just all in at this point, man. Let's just go with it. Just go with it. So, and I'm telling you, if I'm raising kids, no, I'm like, get over here, what are you doing? But I'm also not speaking that way in front of the children. So, well, where did you learn that? I learned it by watching you. No, you did not. You did not. I know I ain't never said that in front of you. And he's like, okay, it was Louie down the street. Take me to Louie's mother. That's gonna be me. I
First of
know.
all, shout out to Louis.
Right.
Yeah, you said some things that are well, all of it was interesting. Shout out to Issa Rae. Her show is great.
Yeah.
Just about everything she does is great.
Yeah.
She's in two movies recently that's gone to the theater.
Photograph.
The Photograph, and she has another one that's coming out, a comedy that's coming out pretty soon. I can't remember the name of it. I'm gonna have to Google that in a sec. But yeah, shout out to her. There was two things you were saying. One about in terms of it not sounding right and just being kind of different, even though you're still Black.
Yeah.
That's something that my wife, your cousin, kind of dealt with growing up, in the sense that her parents are from Ghana. Even though she was born here, there are certain things that were different. The racism that I experienced wasn't the same as the racism that she experienced, where I experienced racism from people who don't look like me. And she experienced like inner racism from people who looks like her because of her skin color being darker, or because she didn't know certain phrases or themes or whatever that she does now, because she wasn't a part of a United, what we are like in the United States, in the sense that where your parents' parents' parents grew up here, there's certain things that are kind of is inherited that she didn't really have. And so there's some things that it's interesting that the viewpoints kind of switch. It's one reason why, while we both love Black Panther, I hold it to a much higher regard than she does, because it speaks to me in a different way. And so going back to that word, it's the same way, where it's like, to her, it's very foreign, whereas to me, not so much. And so that's really interesting. And that's a whole nother podcast right there. That's a whole nother podcast. But yeah, there's also the idea that people want to say the word because it's used and in our pop culture, because hip hop is pop culture now, and all, it's all over the planet. And then the idea that other people can say it, like, I had a long time, there was an issue, I had an issue with Latinos and Hispanics and whatnot using the word, like Fat Joe, fan of his, but he uses the word too. And it's like, at one point it was like, okay, you're not Black though. In another stance, it was like, well, I'm suffering the same things you are. If you're getting stopped and frisked, so am I. And I'm being called the same thing, because they might not know that I'm Hispanic, or I'm not, Black per se. They're still calling me names like they're calling you names. And so, I kind of made a little, kind of peace with that. But that was an issue for a while. Like, me and my best friend actually got into it, because I was like, you can't say that around me. Like, say it elsewhere, but not around me. Him being Dominican, I was like, nah, fam, like, that doesn't sit well with me. And so I could totally understand, because there's layers to what this word means.
Yeah, I agree.
And if especially with white people who want to use it, the fact that you've never been called this in a negative fashion, with a hard ER, and had to, sit with that, is it's a very, I can't really express the feeling. But it's something that, if you were more mindful of that, I think you would not want to, because I question that. Like, why do you want to use it so bad?
So
Like, it's
bad.
not that cool. Like, we have a lot of other cool things you can borrow. That's not the coolest thing. And so,
Like, Ninja needs to just say Ninja. Like,
yes, you got it in your name, fam. Like,
no, dude, now that you've told me this, I'm really thinking that he didn't want his name to be Ninja. I'm really thinking that he wanted, yo, where the lie? Where's the lie, fam? Where?
yo,
Where,
if
bro?
he came out,
Ninja, call me. Call me, Ninja. We got to talk. Yo.
if he came out, a white dude came out and was like, yo, my screen name is nigga, I would lose my, yo. Yo.
He gonna turn it around and call it Agin. That's what he wanted to do.
That's so horrible.
Yo,
Oh my gosh,
I'm telling you.
that's crazy.
But yes, there's other words that you can use. You don't have to use it. The inclusivity, the what do we call it? The entitlement. The inclusivity entitlement
Yes.
is so irritating, because it's like, dude, like, first of all, we just want to have nice things. Okay, but that aside, that's why we're always like, we can't have nice things. But it's just like, this isn't, just like you said, this is not something that you really, really, really should really want to be included on. And I get it. Like, you could have a bunch of friends. You're like, oh, well, they all say it, and I feel excluded. Okay, how about this? Are these your friends' friends? Like, this is your group, right? Do your group know that you feel bad when they say it? And then, this is the thing. This is the thing. This is the best way to get around it. And I'm just saying this in your friend groups. This is
Right.
my parlay to people who are not of color who want to use this. Now, your friend group. So if you are upset because your friend group uses the word and you feel excluded because you would be looked down upon if you used it, two questions here. You really, really do need to ask if these are your friends, because since you feel so excluded and they're not doing anything to make you feel better, maybe they're not your friends. And then you need to say to yourself, wait a minute, maybe this is one of the things that I shouldn't want to be included on, and maybe we can do something else that's more fun.
Yes, like play Fortnite.
Play Fortnite and give each other different nicknames. I'm just saying, like, this is not one of those things you have to fight for inclusivity over because you feel neglected. You feel neglected over this one thing, or you feel on the outside on this one thing when people of color have felt on the outside of more important things for centuries.
Exactly. Like, you have a lot. Like, you have a lot. You don't need this word too. Like, I don't see how that is killing you, especially when, and this is not, I'm not saying this of Ninja, but of people who were upset that Black Panther got all the accolades and stuff that it got. And just because he's, you know, he's Black or whatever, the superhero's Black, and being upset about it, and it's like, you have so many white superheroes. Like, so many that are blockbusters. Yeah. Like, I get it if, like, you don't like him. Cool. You didn't like the movie. You didn't think it was great. Whatever the case may be, fine. But notice how much you're speaking on it in a negative light to people who are excited, especially the people who are like, well, I have a Black friend. Well, okay, you have a Black friend. You have the only Black person, apparently. How do you think they feel when you're knocking this down and they're finding like I feel seen in something? Like, and because with Black Panther, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but it's the idea that we start from a high place. This is not a slavery movie. We're not, you know, poor. We're not dealing with the normal ills that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Yeah. He gets to be super completely. He's rich. He has a super suit. He has super strength. He's cool. Like, he's
cool.
We can be something that you could always be. So why is this bad for you? At the very least, just you would be like, all right, I get it. I'm going to ignore it, or I don't really care, but I get it. You like it. Cool. Do you? Like, that's what I would do. Because I don't care about Green Lantern that much. I mean, I think he's awesome comic book wise, but the movie was freaking horrible. Yeah, but it was horrible. You know, I wasn't ragging on, like, if that was your dude, like, I'm not ragging on it to you. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, to be so angry about, you know, other people being seen and then feel a way about not being able to use one word. Like,
Come on, let us have this one.
Yes. Oh, you have no choice.
That's actually true with that. With that,
you have no choice. Like, you will get. Yeah. Stop it.
one thing, Ben, and this is towards younger people, because when older people do this, I'm like, come on, you need to stop. Like, anybody who is 35 and older, and it's not even really 35. If you're 30 and older, and you're acting this way, then there is a shuttle that's going to the asteroid Vesta. Just go there, okay? It's leaving next week. You can say the N-word there all you want, okay?
Yep, by yourself.
So, it's a free ride. It's fun. Yes. Anyway, but my point is like, you don't need this. My wheels are just turning so much. But I'm sorry. The reason why I'm bringing this up about the age difference, like, if you're 30 and older and you're crying about this, I have nothing to say to you anymore. But if you're younger, if you're part of the younger generation, maybe I should have changed the ages. But if you're like under 20, here's the only reason as to why I'm saying this is actually signifying some sort of progress. And this is two part, because there is also there's progress and there's forgetting. So history is a real thing. Okay. We have history. Things need to be recorded so that we don't make the same mistakes. Right. So there's an important factor here when you have young people who are asking this question, oh, why isn't this okay? All my friends are saying it. Why isn't this okay? This is also why we have adults to correct them. So, if you are not of color and your child comes home, if Timmy comes home and he's like, "Hey, all my friends are saying it, mommy. Why am I grounded? Because I said that. Because you're not allowed. You're not allowed to say that." Well, all my friends are okay. Well, you can't, and this is why. Okay, that's called teaching and remembering and learning about the past, right? Now, the best part about this is that when you've got kids who are, age 13 right now and who are saying all lives matter, like black kids, okay? I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about black kids, kids of color who are like all lives matter. I'm against the hashtag all lives matter movement. We already know why, We're talking about the reason why hashtag black lives matter is a thing is because we're talking about black lives at this point, since black lives are so easily disregarded. Yes, we all know all lives matter. That's supposed to be a given, but the truth is all lives don't matter. So we're focusing on the black ones, okay? Boom, period, done. But when a kid, like a 13-year-old kid or a 12-year-old kid says, like if you're talking about the Black Lives Matter in a group of 30, 40-year-olds and you have a child who's sitting there listening to you and saying, "But all lives matter." The reason why I say that that's progress is because they're growing up in a time that's way better than where we were. Like, I think Barack Obama had said it. He's like, "We're nowhere near where we really need to be, but we're way better than we were some years ago." And so when I hear little, I have, I'm saying this because I've actually witnessed it. When I hear kids saying that, and I'm like, and I correct them and I let them know why this is important, it also put a little smile because it's like this kid is growing up in a really diverse area where they don't even understand the significance of Black Lives Matter because they themselves are not even in a microcosm in that space. They're not dealing with that in where they are. Because like if you have like a really diverse area that is very well, I don't want to say what well, but very well managed, and so where kids are being treated equally in this and the other, at least in their school spaces or whatnot, if they feel as though they're on equal footing as kids of white kids, that's a good thing. We know what America really is, and we know where the disadvantages are. We know that as soon as you get to college, you're more likely as a black kid not to be given as much student loans, or you're tricked into getting so much that by the time you graduate as a black person, you're less likely to get a job to help you actually pay the student loans off. That's real stuff. But at the age of 14 and whatnot, if your kid is really, really thinks that they're on equal footing and their life experience shows they are, that's way better than where we were when I was young. And that's way better than where we were than when our parents were young. And so I may have gone on a little tangent, but I'm just saying that, I mean, my point is like when you have a little kid nowadays who is saying, "Well, all the music says it," the fact that their white parent is even letting them listen to all the, because it's pop culture now. If you're getting to listen to all of that right now, it's different than when we were kids. It was just gangster rap and it was only played on certain stations. Now it's everywhere, equally accessible, and everybody's all into it like it's mainstream. I mean, it is, but that's why I'm saying that the world is a little bit, it we are further, we're just not there because of basically what we're going to talk about next. Now that hip hop culture is culture, it's everywhere. We also see the using of, A, the N word, and what hip hop culture has turned into now as like a machine. It's not benefiting us as black people as it once did or how it should. It's creating more of a factory mentality.
Good segue.
Well, as we move in to discuss speech.
Yes, and for people who don't know, speech, aka, or I should say that the other way, Todd Thomas, aka Speech, is a American rapper from the group Arrested Development, and hopefully, if you're a hip hop head, you know Arrested Development, you know their songs, Tennessee and Everyday People, and basically, yeah, you know the group. Like, it's awesome group, right? So Speech, with the group and separately, has been doing well. I guess I should say what the group is. They're hip hop group, and they deal with similar to like Public Enemy, where they kind of talk about things that affect Black people or affect their town or community or whatever in a, you know, using hip hop, using, you know, our vernacular, if you will. And outside of the music, they also have done other things, whether it be documentaries or, you know, social work or, you know, basically things to help and help not only Black people, but all people kind of be more progressive. And one of the things that Speech has done recently, and when I say recent, I don't mean like recent, but 2018, he released a video called The Nigga Factory. It was part one. And then part two was released last year. I want to say a few months ago. So like the first one was like October 2018, and then 2019 something. I can't remember exactly, but we ended up watching it not too long ago. I'm still waiting on episode three. Come on, Speech. We need you to hurry up.
Speech.
Yes, come on. But yeah, he talks about how hip hop has turned into, or not so much hip hop itself, but the music industry dealing with Black people has turned into a machine where they're pumping out negativity at a record high. Because it before, right. Like you were saying before, like hip hop wasn't just, before it was just, you know, break beats and dancing, DJing, you know, graffiti, and then went into rapping, and then rapping was playful, you know, Sugar Hill Gang, you know, hip hop, hibbit to the hibbit, yeah, that sort of thing. And then it kind of went into more of a woke or conscious based hip hop, where you had acts like De La Soul and Queen Latifah and stuff like that. And then it moved into gangster rap with NWA and, you know, Def Row Records and stuff like that. And so it was aspects of music where people were talking about all sorts of things, negative and positive. And over time, especially nowadays, it's leaned more so on the negative, like heavily so.
Yeah.
People who are more conscientious, I can speak. music art isn't played as much. And also, you know, that there's a lot of it is because music is weird nowadays anyways, in the sense that, you know, radio is kind of like below us. Radio is almost underground now, because you have streaming services and stuff like that. So there are a lot of acts that talk about certain things that are important. One of my favorite rappers right now, Rhapsody, she has an amazing album that she released last year called Eve. And it's, yeah, just go listen to it. I don't want to go off a tangent on that. But so there are some people who are like that. But at the same time, there's a lot of people, and I'm not going to name names because we don't really need to. It's not something that I in terms of shaming someone, because
being
able to feed your family, doing something that isn't illegal when you had to do something illegal prior is a plus. So exactly. I'm not going to shame anyone. However, in terms of what is being pushed to the forefront, a lot of it is negative. You know, half-dressed women, or people who are glorifying certain things that, how do I say this? There's a difference between like being free, like Issa Rae,
right,
and being on display,
exactly.
Or, and so, Speech talks about these things and talks about how certain things are pushed, where it be drug use, where it be, you know, being promiscuous, or where it be what men call women, or how they treat women. The music is, you know, money, women, and drugs, essentially. That's right. All the topics we get. And again, there's a ton of music everywhere. There's a ton of music where people talk about other things under the umbrella of hip hop. But what's being pushed, especially with Black people, is mostly negative over everything else. There's still, and I want to be clear, because I know people, there's always someone who's like, well, not, because I listen to, I'm like, no, stop.
Right. Not what we're talking about here.
we're just talking about like in terms of the balance, because there isn't a balance anymore. There used to be a nice balance, you know, to, you know, for your common, for your public enemy, for your KRS-One, you might have had a Jay-Z, a Nas, whoever, you know, DMX or whatever the case. You had Outkast and you had Trick Daddy. Yeah, you had a balance,
Yes.
and it wasn't a monopoly in some sense,
Right.
where that's just how it is. And so when that happens, you do get, kids who want to say the N-word way more than
Yeah.
usual, or want to call women certain things way more because they kind of see it. And then how people see us, and not to say that this is an excuse of how we're treated, but when we're treated negatively because of that, it kind of speaks to the idea of presenting something to sell or to glorify, and then being okay with the repercussions, like being
Yeah.
okay with how black men are treated, how we're supposedly savages, or how we're supposedly whatever. And when you think about it, it's similar to the blackface, the thing that we talked about before. It's
Yeah, for
just
sure.
masked a little different, and we're able to play key roles, and we're able to get a lot of money from it, but it's still harmful.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why, like, my kids don't, outside of like older hip hop, and even then they don't know who they are. Like, I let them listen to A Tribe Called Quest. They don't really know who they are, but I don't really let them listen to a whole lot of secular music because I'm like, especially having daughters, like, what are you getting out of this? What, because I don't call your mother any of these terms. So, like, how am I empowering you? What am I teaching you that it's okay for men to say this and that, to do this or whatever the case may be? Like, it's overly negative. And the fact that black people kind of struggle with image to begin with, it makes it rough. Not
It
gonna
does.
lie,
We're supposed
makes
to
it
help
rough.
ourselves, and it's hard to help ourselves as a group when we're constantly feeding each other. We're feeding other people who look like us trash, and that's a big issue. And I felt like that's really where speech was really trying to pull. I think the first video is maybe like people will start watching it and they'll be like, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to hear this argument. But the second video is very, it definitely pulls you really in and kind of hones in on the point that he's trying to make. He's really trying to drive home this point about this factory that is basically like it's feeding everyone and keeping them addicted to a certain type of lifestyle, which is really the bigger picture of keeping us down, which is really ingrained for the last 400 years. Idea is you are the not only the media and just the mainstream and basically how hip hop culture is now being gobbled up by everyone and it's going across the globe. This idea of being a drug dealer is glamorized when you had years ago when drug dealers weren't glamorized. It was like dealing drugs to have money to, take care of your family or whatever. It's like, okay, I gotta do what I gotta do. But now it's like, oh, by the way, I'm not gonna get a 9 to 5. I'm just gonna deal drugs so that I can buy 16 Lambos and have a bunch of like dogs and have a bunch of hoes come over to my house and throw cash at them. And like for real, I'm gonna install 6 stripper poles in my man cave or whatnot. All the dudes are gonna come over, all my guys are, they're coming over, and I'm calling the strippers, from what's it called, because they're the best ones, and premium strippers, not the little, ones that you go to during lunch break, but the premium ones that you go down to another city for.
You're
And yeah, they're gonna
schooling
be
me on that.
I'm like that, but that's the real deal. I thought that was important when he said
Right.
that in the video, and he was like, it seems like hip hop right now, it's like the idea, Chuck D actually said it. It was like the idea is to extend teenage years from the age of 17 to the age of 35. So
Right.
it's like, by the way, yeah, I'm still cool. It's like it's one thing to, be a kid about to graduate high school, and it's like, okay, go be an adult, go do adult things, be responsible. But it's like, nah, don't have to get into that until I'm 35. I can be a bum. I can do whatever that's not helpful to society.
Right.
But since it's pushed so much, it's normal. It's normalized to the point where if everything you see on TV is, girls with butts like Nicki and Cardi B, then that's what girls are going to start doing, which they're already doing. At VH1, you turn on VH1, you see every show that's on VH1 right now. Like, that's half the women on the show. No, I'm sorry, I said half. No, that's all of the women on the show. On
Well,
the
it's and that's interesting because actually with that the that depiction, like Royce da 5'9" on the album I was telling you about, the Allegory, he mentioned Sarah Bartman. And for people who don't know, Sarah Bartman is a South African woman who was basically put on display in Europe because she had a big behind or whatever. And she would, but it was as a freak show. It wasn't like glamorized like it is now, or it was glamorized like it is now, but in a more insidious way, where today it's kind of hidden. Like, Nicki Minaj can be the way she is and make a lot of money and blah 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 blah, but she's still looked at as a sex symbol, and whereas black people can kind of see her for more than that, a lot of people who are pushing whatever image just sees her as,
Cash cow.
exactly. And
Literally.
so with Sarah Bartman, it was the same way, except for they were upfront about it. It was like, this is a freak, come look at this freak. And
Yeah, and she
it
was
was
naked.
right, she was naked, and it was so it was like lustful, and but at the same time, like below her, like below us, like she's not on our level, Europeans or whatever, because she's a savage. But look at how big she is. You know what I mean? Like it was very much like, yeah, go Google Sarah Bartman and you can look it up. But it's not something to be proud of. It's not something to be happy about. And it's not to say that she was actually a freak. What I'm saying is that they looked at her being different, and because she was black, and so automatically beneath them. But then also, it's like you can still entertain us even though you're beneath us. And so that's kind of similar to what's happening now, because people are getting fake injection or injections or whatever. They're going out of the country to get bigger butts or whatever, and it's like you're
Oh,
basically,
you don't need to go out of the country. You just go to Dr. Miami.
yeah, like you, but in some dark alley and get whatever, and it's causing all sorts of problems, like
But the
and
real
it's.
problem that it's causing is that, like, I'm sitting here, like, I thought I was cute before, and now I gotta compete with these other women. And I'm like, you guys are the reason I'm still single,
Oh
because
God.
apparently, my 12-inch drop between my waist and my hips is no longer. It's no longer the thing. Now you have to have like a 20-inch drop. These girls are coming out of these little factories with 22-inch waists and 40-inch hips. And I'm like, what are you doing? Fashion Nova makes clothes for them. I can't even fit their clothes. I look at the mannequins. I'm like, okay, I just can't even. Free shipping. At least give me free shipping so I can see if the pants fit. They're not gonna. I don't return them. I'm just saying, it's a bigger problem. It's a bigger problem.
Well, I was talking about, people dying from injections, but yeah, that's
I mean
bad too.
that too, but I mean that's just part of beauty. That's the price of beauty, okay? Don't go to the wrong dark alley.
But no, it's but then also that is true, and then that, and that's like a more of a bigger thing in terms of like lighter skinned women supposedly are better because they're closer to white, or have your hair straight versus natural, have blah, blah, blah. So that's been a that's always a thing, right? Whereas this particular has been about behinds, but yeah, that's a thing too. And so the idea, and like definitely go check out the videos, they're on YouTube. Because they have some, it's some interesting, and I kind of want to see what people have to say on the opposite side, because it was it kind of sparked from a picture of,
Meme.
well, it was before then. It was a picture of like Jay-Z, Puffy, a bunch of people who like made a lot of money in hip hop, were all celebrating, and one person looked at it as like, oh, these are black men who had to sell drugs at one point, but they don't anymore, and they made it legit, and now they're doing legitimate business, and they finally succeed. And then someone else was like, well, these people kind of glorified horrible things and succeeded, and so it's like this split view, and it's like I can understand both, because if anything, me rapping about something negative when I was younger, allow me to be legit, allow me to put food on the table, and allow me to get to a point where now I'm an adult and now I don't rap about these things anymore. Because you look at Jay-Z, you know, Reasonable Doubt, all the way now to 444, he's a different person. And he's doing some positive things in the Black neighborhoods and community and stuff like that. And he wouldn't have been able to do that if he wasn't rapping about what he was rapping about before. So,
correct.
And there's also a side of entertainment that isn't fair in the sense that, you know, and granted this happens in other places too, but like, you know, someone who's Italian can play a mobster and it's okay because they're pretending. It's still entertainment. Whereas, and they might get some backlash from their own community. I can totally understand that. But at the same time, you know, from everyone else viewing it, it's like you're allowed to pretend. Whereas us, it went from like, this is entertainment. Like Fat Joe would say, this is entertainment. I'm not really that way anymore. I've grown up, et cetera, et cetera. Just entertainment, where I can understand that. But then at the same time, it's like when all you have for the most part has been negative imagery.
Right.
It kind of blurs the line of entertainment because this is what people think we are. And it's interesting because in other countries, and not that there isn't like protests and stuff like that and discrimination and racism in other countries, but when it comes to hip hop, a lot of the stuff that is celebrated is also some of the older stuff like breakdancing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There is not just the gangster stuff or the drug selling or the drug using in this, and you know, nowadays, it's not just that. It's interesting. There's like this weird divide where we're allowed to do something because it's allowing us to eventually get to a point where we're doing something positive.
Yeah.
Outside of just not doing that negative thing anymore, because a lot of those people would be in jail or dead, to be honest. And then on the flip side, it's like, okay, now you have power. Now you have a platform. Now you have something that can affect, or you, at the very least, you have money that can, you know, change things. Mm-hmm. And so what are you doing with that? I look at T.I., I think he was in the photo. You know, T.I. rapped about, he still raps about a lot of negative things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, T.I., he's bought homes for people.
Yeah.
And not just people in his family. I mean, just people. Like, buying homes for people and, you know, rallying for political causes or things that would affect, you know, Black people in general. Like, he's done a lot of positive things. So it's like, if there's a weird give and take.
There is a weird give and take because he also forces his daughter to go to the gynecologist every year to make sure she's still a virgin. But yet
apparently that was a joke.
I would hope so, because if not, this is a problem.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge, huge problem.
And you know, T.I. fan. Like, T.I. is, I used to jam to T.I. every day on the way to work. That was the only way I stayed sane for those years.
I'm not defending anything. Like, if I know. I just want to point that out. But my point was, like, the critique or the criticism that speech has is valid.
Yeah.
And but there is some nuance there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the sense of how we go forward and how we discuss hip hop as, you know, as Black people.
Yeah.
Because we invented it. And
what
it is that people are seeing, and what is it, how is it coloring people's perception of who we are? Because a lot of times, and I guess that's where the balance comes in, because when there was a balance, you could say, oh, you listen to hip hop. You listen to hip hop where you degrade women. Oh, not necessarily. You listen to De La Soul where you don't degrade women. Okay. So you could be seen in a suit and tie, you could be seen in like a bandana, whatever. Like there was a rainbow of different possibilities there. And now it's, you know, dreads, a million tattoos, you know, diamonds in the mouth and everything. And not to knock anyone who dresses that way, but I'm just saying, like, there's an image.
I have diamonds in my mouth, listeners. I just need to let you guys know that, yeah, I've got diamond fronts. Yeah.
It's like 6ix9ine was a product of this.
Oh,
so, nice. You know what I mean? Like, he came from this. Like, the, you know, and his story, I don't know if anybody, if you know,
It's
if you're into
crazy.
hip hop, is kind of bananas. I believe he's gonna be getting out of I believe he's gonna be getting out of jail soon.
Soon.
Since he like told and that was a whole thing. But
Wait,
anywho,
snitched?
yeah, on like
Snitched.
everyone, even people who might not even be involved.
Oh
It was
no.
crazy. But yeah, he's a product of it, and it's destructive. It's very destructive. And like I would never give anyone a pass, like a police officer who does something horrible. I would never give them a pass, but it doesn't necessarily help our image. We can't even wear hoodies anymore,
Right.
since Trayvon Martin. You know what I mean? Like it's nuts.
It's war.
And so like there's some responsibility there. Like we have to take a little bit of responsibility in the images and the things that we show, the things that we talk about. It's not to say that we have to, censor anyone in terms of, their speech, their art, but there's an idea of just being accountable for the stuff that you put out.
And balancing it out because it's like I'm going to use T.I. as an example again just because T.I. has been doing this since he was young. Like when he started rapping, he had his T.I.P. That's who he was as a rapper, as a dealer, doing things to stay alive, keep the lights on in his house and stuff like that as a young person, and then turning into this mogul and being T.I. And that's where you had T.I. versus T.I.P. So he has two personalities. He's got the thug, like, well, okay, like, so one of the lines that I like in his, when one of his songs is, "Ain't nothing changed but the name on the mail." Because he's like, I'm still the same person, but I've also changed my name so I can be this other person, so I can be responsible. And I'm using that as an example because he does all of this stuff where he's like, look, this is how you run a business. He's got all his shows. He's showing his family is successful. He's got all these kids because he has a million of them. Seriously, it's like he's running Children of the Corn up in there. Like, there's all of these babies. There's all of these little. And then there's Tiny. Lord, she needs help. And he's trying to show people what success is. But some years ago, this dumb butt guy had to go back to jail for being stupid. For you're on probation, dude. Don't get caught smoking weed in public. How about that? How about that? Or don't get caught trying to buy guns. Hey, T.I., what do you need guns for now? You're not supposed to be a thug no more. You're just supposed to be rapping about
Well,
it.
that I and again, I'm not taking up for anything, but the guns thing at least was a little bit different because he was being threatened, and one of his friends was killed right before the weapons charge, and so he was kind of like, I need to defend myself, and being from where he's from, I kind of understand that. The getting like and probation, it's a whole horrible racket,
Very, it's a
but
racket. You're right.
at the same time, yeah, you don't want to do any type of drugs, any type of whatever. You kind of want to just stay in the house, and your house is the bomb. I would stay in that house and
Same.
like not leave. It's a mansion. You can have anything ordered.
You can
Just
even
stay
send
there.
kids out if they're annoying you. Send them on a pizza run. Send them to grandma. She got a big house too. In fact, it's in your song. Do it for my father. Do it for my oldest son's, and his mama too. Do it for my daughter's, cause whatever, and do it, cause that's my jam, right? Yeah, we already know you got houses. Just stay in one of them. And I'm not ragging on anyone, but I'm saying, as we're talking about the responsibility, the cultural responsibility as an artist in general, not obviously not just hip hop and whatnot, but as a culture, as a community of Black people, and now we are doing our best to uplift each other, and we do understand that we also need entertainment. And we've talked about this before. I think there was I can't remember who was talking about it on a panel about how we're Black women, we don't all need to be Claire Huxtable anymore. There was a point in time where it was like, this is who we need to be because we need to show up. This is who we are, and we're being an example to everyone, all the younger people, and bringing it up. And we're at that point where, you know what? You don't need to be Claire Huxtable anymore. But you
She's
just.
kind of dope, though.
She's super dope. I still want to see her. She's super dope. Had all them kids, looked amazing. I mean, we know she was acting, but still, had all them kids, looked amazing, and was a lawyer. That girl was winning cases. Okay. Like,
Yes.
Claire was the bomb. But it's true. Not everybody can be a Claire Huxtable. You can strive to be a Claire Huxtable,
Right.
but some people just want to be Cardi B. And you know what? It would also be okay if you just weren't drugging dudes and taking their money. So that's the different story that we can go into another time. We don't need to go there. But the real point is about being a responsible artist, being responsible when you have that platform so that you don't continue the cycle of this factory that started years ago that was from the jump, the reason why racism in the United States was able to work, the reason why it was successful, because it was a system designed to not only dehumanize, but to make people believe that they were less than, so that they could be controlled and utilized as tools. And that's a lot of work. And the reason why, even when you talk about, I know people like to use the slavery argument about, oh, slavery was all over the globe. It was. But the reason why it was different in certain areas, the reason why it was so different in the US was because, first of all, they made it one race in particular. And then on top of that, to be able to continue with slavery, you had them, like white people themselves, had to take on a persona, had to truly believe themselves to be better. Because how can you treat somebody like that? Or how can you treat an entire people like that for eons if you don't believe it? You had even if at the very beginning it was like, yeah, I don't really agree with this, but I really like money, so I'm gonna go along with it. The idea is if the first person in America, the first white person in America to participate in slavery didn't believe it, to continue on with the riches that slavery was bringing or promised to bring, you would have to convince the next white person under you to believe it so that they wouldn't screw it up for everybody else.
Right.
So, that's how it works. And that's why I hate it when those people are like, oh, black people own slaves in Africa. Well, screw you. All right, because you're an idiot. All right, the idea to make slavery work outside of the fact that the entire world was enslaved at one point is when you enslave a race of people, when you slave a particular people, you have to implement hate in a system to keep them down. The system was so basically airtight that it worked for so long that the effects are still being felt today. So we are perpetrating those effects when we continue to create art that has the ability to touch people the way words don't. Right now, you and I are talking, and people may be just glazed over what we're saying or totally tuned out. But art, visual art, like music videos and music really do touch people. And so it changes people, it changes the way they behave. And so
Right.
that's what Speech is talking about in those videos. And that's where, you know, that's why we had the conversation about using the N-word and what it means and, you know, how it kind of shapes our culture and how people feel and whatnot. And, you know, yeah.
it's a thing. It's a thing. It's a big thing. We wanted to touch on that, and hopefully if Speech releases his episode 3, we'll definitely jump into that and kind of talk about the themes and things that he brings up there, because apparently it's with it being the final video, he really touches or is planning on touching on some really hot topics, so surrounding that the factory. Definitely check that out on YouTube, and under Speech's channel. It's rather easy to find, actually. And follow him on Twitter, because that's where I actually found out about it, was on Twitter. And as he's posting a lot of things that he's doing, and the shows and stuff that he's a part of. And so definitely check it out. Good information. Also, since we're talking about hip hop anyways, I would check out the Netflix show, and it just fell out of my head. The
Oh,
Netflix
when I was
show.
out last week.
No, the hip hop show, where it talks about hip hop evolution,
Oh,
and
yeah.
Very good show, 'cause and there you can kind of see all of it. You can see the, like I was talking about before, how it was kind of playful, then it went to serious, and then gangster, and then back and forth, and where you get to see, and from different regions, how the South was different from the East Coast, West Coast rap, all this good stuff. You get to hear and learn about a lot of different things. It's definitely a, obviously, it's presented from a Black perspective, and so there will be the N-word, and if you feel like you want to use it, you're just gonna have to be okay with that. But for everybody else, like, it's definitely a good series to check out. I think it's on season f yeah it's on season 4 right now, and they do a really good job of breaking things down, whether it be how hip-hop started, to the trends in hip-hop, to the pioneers, to things that happen in terms of labels and people beefing with one another. Like, there's a lot of information that's really good. So definitely check that out. And that's on Netflix for all the Netflix owners out there.
Oh, hey, we talked about this, Netflix. We're plugging you, so we need some attention.
Yeah.
Hulu has a show called Your Attention, Please. Craig Robinson is the host, and I caught the first episode the other day. I really liked it. It's a great show, and it really, really inspired me, actually. I felt very creative after watching that episode.
Nice.
But it featured Idris Sandu, if you, or I think he actually goes by Idris. But anyway, some point. The Ghanaian kid who worked with Nipsey Hussle to create the Marathon store. And
Nice.
he gives his story and whatnot, and it's a good show, and I think that everybody should check that out.
Yeah, it talks about Black artists and or it gives like a, it presents Black artists and Black creatives from multiple different disciplines, and kind of each episode features, I want to say it features three different ones, three different
Maybe
artists.
I think so. It's three the first episode. I haven't seen any more.
Okay. And it kind of like, shows what they're doing in terms of pushing the boundaries in whatever their fields are, and basically just being great. And with it being Black History Month, coming to a close, this is definitely a cool show to check out. Unfortunately, I do not have Hulu, but I'm sure
We've talked about this.
I know, right? I can borrow, I'm gonna borrow someone's.
You're gonna borrow mine.
Yeah, so we can, I can check it out. But for
No,
what I
he's
saw,
not Hulu. No, he's not. He's
yeah.
not. We're not sharing.
Shoot, Netflix was cool with it. They were like, yeah, they even have a link you can share with people from your account to look at stuff. So Hulu needs to get on board. Disney. So anyways, yeah, but they, it, like Craig Robinson, he kind of introduces everyone, and they basically are celebrating the art and Black art and creativity and whatnot. And it's a documentary series, or anthology slash documentary, and it looks really cool from the bits that I've seen. It looks really cool. So you said it was, yeah, Your Attention, Please.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Your Attention,
definitely
Please.
check that out.
Dope. I felt it was dope. So please check that out. And if you do have Hulu, they have a whole like section right now where it's like Black creators. So it's like you can scroll through everything else. You just go to this one part, it says Black creators. Boom. It's all these shows. And I'm like, just like Issa Rae, I'm just voting for everybody Black. What you say, I'm rooting for everybody Black.
Shoot, we need to be on that. I need to get in touch with Hulu. Like,
Right?
hey.
Hey, Hulu, we're not sharing. They're like. Just saying, plug them. But so obviously we'll have more combo on, like this topic and what, like a little bit next week. We really just want people to comment and please. The conversation is not over. It's a really what we talked about was just scratching kind of even the surface of the topics.
Right.
We just had a conversation with us and we did actually want to have like some other people come in, and this is a good topic to talk about. So, and it's fun. And one of the things that I just wanted to point out was I know I spoke about the Boondocks last week because we're excited, and obviously we were talking about the N-word, and obviously they use it a lot on that show, and I
A
use the word
lot.
obviously a lot. But we all know Riley. Riley is like nigga this, nigga that. That's what he does. That's what he talks. That's what he says. But there's one episode where Riley Freeman says he's talking about Gangstalicious, and he was like, he don't have to be out in these streets like we do. And I remember that phrase because I was sitting here like, that is the agenda that the machine is pushing. That, yo, these young kids got to be out in these streets doing these things. And it's like, no, we really worked hard to make the world better for you so that you don't have to do this. And I'm not talking about people who are really fighting as a, 12-year-old kid trying to keep the lights on and trying to figure out what kind of things to do on the side so I can keep these lights on. I'm talking about
Right.
some kids who were pulled out of the hood and moved to a Maryland suburb, living in the nicest neighborhood possible across the street from
Isn't there their
something
street called Timid Deer Lane or something like
like
that?
that, something like that. Okay. And that's why Riley went around and spray painted all the street signs and tried to change the names. It's not,
Yes.
it's crazy. But it's like, seriously, Riley, you really, really, really want to go hard and let everybody know how much of a thug you are. You're a child. You know nothing, and you don't need it.
Yeah.
You're rich. Your granddaddy is rich. So I just, well, that was the parallel. I mean, we were talking about earlier is like people thinking they need to be a certain way, and the glamorization of being thugs or being dealers or being criminals and going to jail. Like Tekashi was like, I ain't been to jail yet. What? You
Yeah,
want
like that. Stop it. Just stop. Just
Stop.
it's that's not something to brag about. That's not something to be happy about. Anyone who goes to jail is not happy about it. Like that's not they're not I mean, granted, some people are celebrated. Like, I want to say like for instance, 50 Cent was, glamorized before he got shot, but even more so after the fact. Partly because, like he survived being shot nine
He
times, but then
survived.
also because it was kind of like, oh, he's real. Like he's really real. Like he really went through something. It's like, you know what? He didn't have to though. He was
Yeah.
still dope without getting shot. Like if
That's
it's
true.
that's not something you got, like, I can't wait till someone shoots me. I remember there was an episode of The Sopranos where one of the characters was with I think it was Tretch from Naughty by Nature. I need to double check, but where he was playing a artist, a hip hop artist who he was like, I need someone to shoot me, knowing that Tony Soprano, was part of mafia or mob or whatever. He was like, I'll pay one of your people to shoot me and make it seem like, he was in, he was into something. Just
Funny.
don't, just don't kill me, obviously, but just, shoot me, and then that'll build up my street cred. And it's like, fam, really? Like, but that's a thing. And so, yeah.
Is a
Yeah.
thing. It
It's
is. We go on
wow.
forever about
Yeah.
that.
Oh man. So, hopefully you enjoyed this week's show. I definitely did. Great time talking about, the N-word and factories and ninja.
Ninja was a surprise.
I had to tie it back in the game somehow. But yeah, definitely check us out. Subscribe, hit the little notification bell so you know when the next episode pops up. I did check, this is episode 6, so episode 7 will be next week. We record on Thursdays, breaking the fourth wall, which means the podcast will be going up on Friday. So you'll be hearing this tomorrow or today, whatever that is. And we talk about all sorts of stuff. If you are new, which would be odd since you've lasted this far, GAME stands for games, anime, manga, movies, and et cetera being all sorts of entertainment. So we're going to be talking about this sort of thing, not this particular topic, but video games, movies. Last week we talked about Sonic and Birds of Prey, which was great because it fits with comics and video games, all rolled in one. And so we're going to be talking about some other things. Next week is going to be a really good show. I'm looking to get a special guest on, one of my peers, or our peers, I should say, to come on and talk about some things. I'm not going to say what it is just yet, just in case we have to pull an audible. But we have a really cool show next week, dealing with scary movies and anxiety. So I'm not going to go into exactly what, because like I said, we might switch some things, but there's some really cool stuff there. And we just saw the trailer for Candyman, so I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, spoiler. Yeah, I'm gonna die about. I'm gonna. Sorry, like, yo, I have problems, guys. You want to tune in next week because I have horror movie issues, and the orphanage really messed me up. I'm sorry, not the orphanage, the orfanato, the Spanish.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to be definitely talking about that and some other cool stuff. So tune in, like I said, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our website at unitedfrontgaming.com. You can follow the website on Twitter at u_f_g. You can follow me at KennyUofG, and you can follow Teresa at MessyTessie_Biggs on Instagram.
Yep.
Please do so. We would like to hear what you thought about the show. And if you have any comments, or you have any topics that you want us to cover on the show, definitely let us know and we'll look into that. Just be respectful, because I have no problem blocking whoever. So yeah.
Yeah. Hashtag just don't be a dick.
Facts. I need to get that on a shirt,
Yeah,
and
we're
then I
working on that.
shouldn't, because my daughters can read. So yeah, but
Yeah,
that would be a
kids.
dope shirt to wear, like, in the dark.
Kids, they God, we just want to have nice things.
Yes. Stop it, kids. All right.
Shit. All right, everybody, that was a wonderful having you guys, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.